The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf from Masechet Beitzah is daf Zion, and we're holding on daf Vav Amud Beit, Omer Ravuna Omer Rav, which is about a third of the way up from the bottom. Omer Ravuna Omer Rav. Beitzah Nitziyata Digmara. An egg is completed as it is laid. What is that supposed to mean? My im Yitziyata Digmara. Ilei ma im Yitziyata Digmara muteret lochla b'chalav. If what you mean to say is that only as it's laid is it considered to be an egg, and therefore it's parv, and you can eat it with whatever you want, including milk, but up until that point it's not completed, and therefore it's considered to be actually part of the chicken, and it would be usur to eat it together with milk, but that's not true. Because Vatanya, Hashochetet HaTarnagolet U'Matzaba Bitzim Gmurot, even if you shechted a chicken, and you find that there's completed eggs inside of the chicken, you're allowed to eat those eggs together with milk. And we'll see later on, there's a question of how much we mean by uncompleted. And we say gemurot. Because gemurot over here means it's gemurot, but it has the yolk. It has no albumin yet surrounding the yolk, is what you usually find in the chicken. So therefore, the meaning of im yitziyata nigmara must be that only if it's laid before Yontif can you assume that it was completely completed and that it was hakona from during the chol. But anything other than that, even if it's just into Yontif, it would be also. So im yitziyata, only with complete yitziyata is it mutter le'achol b'yontif, but otherwise it would be also le'achol b'yontif. And the implications would be that as long as it's found b'me'e'ima, if it's found inside of the chicken, then it's also to eat on Yontif. But Tanya, Hashochet HaTarnagolet U'Matzaba Bitzim Gmurot Mutarot L'Achol B'Yontif. That's all very nice to say theoretically, except that the Braita says Beferish not that way. It says that you can eat it, even if you found it, inside of the chicken on Yontif. Now, maybe you'll say, well, but that can't be right, because V'chitei Mekamashron B'Braita Ma'adalo Hashmina B'mat Bitzim. The Mishnah seems to be saying something that is contrary to anything that we ever found in a Mishnah. The general rule is, look, if you can't find that Rebbe, who is Masada the Mishnah taught this, you cannot rely on Reb Chiya to say something that's against the Mishnah. Maybe that's exactly what Rav is saying. Maybe Rav is saying, look, forget about that Braita, because only im yitziyata nigmara. And therefore, what that means is that up until that point, it's considered not to be Huchan completely. The point is, however, that we do find that in the Mishnah. I mean, not very openly, but if you think about it, our Mishnah actually implies that, because Anami Tanina, Beitzah Shenolda B'Yomtov, Beit Shemai Omrim Teachel, Beit Hillel Omrim Lo Teachel, that's our Mishnah, right? Now notice that the only machloket between Beit Shemai and Beit Hillel is if the egg was actually laid, Ela B'Nolda. But if it was found in the chicken itself, then apparently nobody would hold that such an egg is a problem. And so maybe that, I mean, you can't tell me that the Braita is contradicting the Mishnah. So we cannot say that that was the intent of Rav. Now, maybe you'll attempt to tell me that, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. But Mishnah actually, Beit Hillel would say that the egg is usur even if it was b'me'i iman. The reason that it says nolda is to tell me that even if it was nolda, that Beit Shammai holds that it's still mutter and there's no problem of mutzah or nolda. So it's l'diach l'kolchot of Beit Shammai, that feel nolda nami shoru. And if that would be the case, then Rav would indeed be justified in saying that, no, this Braita is contrary to the Mishnah. That's not true, because then the Braita that says, Ashochet HaTarnagolet U'Matzaba Bitzim Gmurot Mutarot La'ochlan B'Yom Tov is not true according to anyone. Mani, Lo Beit Shammai, V'lo Beit Hillel. I mean, it's true according to Beit Shammai, but it's trivial according to Beit Shammai, because I mean, he says even Neilat, so why would a Braita say only if you find it inside? So it can't be that Beit Shammai is saying Braita. And if you're right, then how you just learned the Mishnah, it's not true according to Beit Hillel, because Beit Hillel would say that indeed it's also. So therefore, we're stuck. Rav cannot be saying that the Braita is saying against the Mishnah. So then what is he saying? Ella, maybe saying like this. Beitzayim Yitziyatam Nigmara means that the egg is only functional, meaning it can only be incubated if it was laid, not if it was removed from a chicken after Shechita. And at that point, and only at that point, would it be Megadelet Efrochim. So it can be incubated. But if you take it out of a shechted chicken, and you attempt to incubate it, it won't function. It will not be Megadelet Efrochim. L'mainav gemina, l'mekach u'memka. The only difference over here would be in terms of its commercial value. Like, we actually have a case. Ahud Yarmulot. Beit Apach Yalaman. Who's got chirping eggs? Meaning, eggs that have been laid by a nice... clucking chicken. I don't want any dead chicken eggs. And he asked
you for some actual fucking chicken. I'm sorry, okay.
And he actually was given Beit Ishut. So he sued. And I ordered 1 million eggs for incubation. You know, and I was delivered 1 million shechted eggs. So he comes to Rabbani. Rabbani Paskin, he gets his money back. Amarlo mekach ta'utu. So maybe that's the point that Rav is making. That indeed, it's not going to work. Wait a minute. I mean, it's rather obvious that it's a mekach ta'utu. A guy tells you, he wants to incubate eggs. You give him eggs that can't be incubated. I would assume that it's a mekach ta'utu. No. Pshita. Now, what kind of trivial psak is that? It's not trivial. If you analyze the difference in value between eggs that were taken from a shechita and eggs that are taken from a clucking chicken, it's not more than a sixth. So I'm a vato the mekach. It's enough to get your money back in terms of the difference, but not to get your money back for the entire set. The only point is that this guy said to me, these are worthless, because I only want to incubate them, which is why I demanded specifically those kind of eggs. So you might have thought that the seller can say, look, the guy wanted these eggs not to incubate. He wanted them because they're tastier, they're fresher. And he wants to eat them, not incubate them. The only reason he was talking about pachya is because they're like really scaldingly fresh. That comes from our parsha, tzarevet hashrim. That means it's just like, you know, freshly scarred, so to speak. So that's the point. How can you tell what? Tastes different. It tastes different.
One day later.
Yes, correct. Not 1 day later. It's a completely different organic moment. An egg taken after shechting and an egg taken from alive. And if you can't tell the difference, we will send you to a tasting parlor. So the line after Kamina. So I would have said that the argument could be made by the seller that I'll only pay the difference in value. I'm not going to take all those eggs back and give this money back. Kamash Malan, the psak is not trivial at all. He has to give back the money. Take back the eggs. There was another case when someone went around insisting that he wants fertilized eggs. Beidadikhalaman. Male eggs, meaning male fertilized eggs. And he was given instead these modern eggs, Beidasafanamiara, eggs that come laid just because you've persuaded the chicken that it's got an egg in it, you know. Safanamiara means heated from the ground, and not sexually heated, but just warmed in such a way that it'll lay the egg. So anyway, to the comedy Rabbani. So Rabbani says, give him his money back. Mekach tortu. Why that? Well, obviously, I mean, if the guy says he wants fertilized eggs, he wants to incubate them, right? No. Because ma de tem ay lachila kabayla. It could be that the guy really only wants to eat the eggs. But the point is that he's demanding fertilized eggs because they're fatter. They have the thicker taste to them. Shminim tvei. And the difference would be, therefore, the difference in value between the two, which is not sufficient to be mevatel the entire mekach. So I'll give you the difference in value. Fine. I cheated you. So I'll pay you an additional mil per egg. So my mafkina metvele beni beni. Kamashvan, that no, it's a complete mistake. Vivoyitema? Or I'll give you another explanation of what Rav meant by saying im yitziyata. My im yitziyata, what Rav was saying is, with its technical departure from the body. What is a technical departure from the body? Like Reb Yochanan's, the dumb Reb Yochanan. Look, you know, sometimes that poor chicken's got a problem getting that egg out of its body. Before C-section. So then, a Beitzek could have been pushed out, rove of it, and then the poor Tanagola gave up and plopped back in. So it says, Reb Yochanan, as long as it was Yotzer Ruba, Reb Erev Yonta, it's considered to be laid. No, someone stole the kettle.
The kettle was never tied for Pesach.
Really?
Yeah, they walked out with the kettle.
No kumkum.
No kumkum. No kumkum. No, 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 no. I'm fine. Mutarat.
Marzipan moved
down. Special for the day, huh? When we lose our kumkum.
Marzipan.
We actually have on record 7 years ago. You're doing exactly the same thing.
That's true.
And my yelling at you for spending so much money for a ridiculous cup of tea.
So one day.
And it was because of that that they closed downstairs because we stopped buying all of that. And now reopen. You want to do the same thing again and get them shut down so quickly? I'm sure they'll return it. It's probably taken by accident. Okay, so there it would be considered to be laid before Yom Tov. Or actually, we could say that what Rav was saying is it was the exact opposite. We could say, Im Yitziyah Tanigmara, not with its technical Yitziyah, but with its completed Yitziyah. So, Im Yitziyah Tanigmara would mean Dafkan Yitziyah Kula Nigmara, and only Yitziyah Kula Im. But a technical rule by Yitziyah would not be sufficient, in which case what Rav would be saying is, pay no attention to Rabbi Yochanan's sack, lafukim in Rabbi Yochanan, that either it's been laid or it hasn't. Guva. Getting back to that braita that's caused us so much grief around here. Somebody shechs a chicken and finds in it completed eggs. Those eggs can be eaten together with milk, and they're not considered to be part of the chicken. Says Rabbi Yaakov, and we mentioned before that actually is a machlokas here. Says Rabbi Yaakov, well, that's not so simple. If these eggs are still connected to the mechanism in the chicken near the spine that completes the egg formation, so then it's still considered to be part of the body. And then there would be osur. So if all you found was the yolk and they're still attached and the egg is still forming, that's considered to be meat. So now, who would be the man, the Yomar, who says the following bright? My Tana Lada Tana Rabbanan. Somebody eats a nivlat of tars. We eat from a dead bird. And this dead bird, unshechted bird, this dead bird, the halacha is, in a very unusual din. It's only metame bebet ablia. If you touch a dead bird, or if you carry a dead bird, it's not metame. If you swallow the dead bird, then it is metame. But only if you eat something that is considered to be part of the basar of the nevela. If you eat parts of the nevela that are not basar, it will not be metame at all, even if you insist on swallowing it. So the halacha is that if you eat from the shalal shel beitzim, now that's interesting, because the shalal shel beitzim means that they are still mu'urot begidin. They're part, they're attached to the cluster along which they form. So a number of eggs can form simultaneously. And you eat from the shalal, or you eat the inedible bones, or you eat tendons that are inedible, or you eat, for that matter, even part of the meat of this bird. But this meat was cut off before the bird died. You ate from blood, you ate lashem menachai. In all of these cases, you'd be tahor, because none of that would be metame. It's not considered to be part of the bird. But if you eat from the actual eshkol shel beitzim, which appears to mean the meat of where the beitzim are formed, or the kurkavan, or the b'nei, the intestines, or you melt down the chelev of this bird, and you drink it. In all of these cases, that's equivalent of eating, and it would be tameh. So now I ask you, who would be the author of the part of this braita that says that if you eat the shalal shel beitzim, you would be tahor, because the shalal shel beitzim is not part of the bird?
What am I eating the thread?
It's all we're talking about. Don't confuse yourself. Tuma. Rav Yosef. Well, I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you what it isn't. It's not going like Rav Yaakov. Because Rav Yaakov is the one who says that the shalal shel beitzim is considered to be meat, right? And he said, im hayu me'urot begidin, there are asurot. So at least we know that this braita is going against that psak. No, this has jumped to conclusions over here. How do you know that? Maybe all that Rabbi Yaakov was saying is that, look, maybe technically it's not basar, but since it's almost basar, the Rabbanan were gozer, and they gave it a din of basar, l'gabi basar b'cholav. But that's not a raya that it would be tamei, l'inyin tuma. Well, maybe he was never gozer, l'inyin tuma. So what do we do? We have no raya that he would have said, and maybe you'll say, whoever heard of making half a gezeira? I mean, if Rabbi Yaakov holds that we're going to be machmer to consider it to be meat when it comes to eating it, why would it not be considered meat in terms of its being metame? So then we should be gozer for tuma as well. No, that is not a question. because afushe tumen rabbanon lo mafshin. We, the rabbanon, have no interest in spreading about additional tuma because we want to save things like truma or tyrus from tuma, because we don't want to be gozer. Now Rashi points out, well, what is that supposed to mean? There's lots of places where we find exer, something is coming in rabbanon. Why don't we say in every place we don't want to be afushe tuma? He just says, well, here we wouldn't do that, without explaining why. There's a ritva that explains that actually this is different because this would mean opening up a new type of tumah d'rabbanan, which is eating. We never find that tumah. Tumas maga, tumas masa, tumas ayah, whatever. But this is a crazy tumah that is only found by Nivlat Zoftar, that as you swallow it, it's matame you. To be marga tumah under those circumstances is something that we wouldn't do. Others say that actually the question was the opposite. It wasn't who is the author of a braita that says mina shalal shel beitzim not. The question was, who is the author of a braita that says mina eshkol shel beitzim yes tameh. And there Rabbi Yosef said, well, that's Rabbi Yaakov, because I'm assuming that mina eshkol shel beitzim means that you peel off the eggs from the eshkol and you eat them. Says Abai, I understand. What makes you say that? Why the eshkol? You think eshkol means the hanafatali of the eshkol, means the eggs that are on the eshkol? Maybe it means eating the actual flesh of the organ that forms the egg, which is called the eshkol. Nema eshkol gufe. So v'chitema eshkol gufe maila meimra. You'll tell me that eating the eshkol, which is the equivalent of the ovaries, you would be obviously eating meat. So what would be the chiddush? What do you mean, what would be the chiddush? Did you take a look at the rest of the braita? Mr. Braita says, the eshkol, the kurkavan, the blemei ayin. You're telling me the kurkavan is not part of the chicken. What is that supposed to mean? So why would it mention those? You're going to ask the same question. That's meat. Why not? Because, obviously, I've got the basar, you know. Even though it may be meat, there's lots of people who don't eat that part of the chicken. Turns them off. They won't eat the kurkavan. So certainly people don't eat the ovaries. So it's a lashmina. So you need to know that that's considered to be derech achila. We still need to hear that it would be metame b'achila, even though many people may not be happy eating it. Another halacha, which seems to be unrelated to us, but we'll soon see that it has a fascinating relationship. Kosher tashmisho b'yom, anything that, any species that mates during the day, will actually give birth during the day. So in other words, that means that that species is not vulnerable, it's not worried about, and it hasn't evolved in such a way to need to have the protection of night for taking care of its own needs. So if it'll mate during the day, so then that means it can also...
predators?
Yeah. So it will also deliver during the day, even though that's a very vulnerable moment, obviously. So it's mating a very vulnerable moment. So therefore, it'll be nullet b'yom. If it's programmed to mate only in the night, it only delivers in the night. So then nullet b'layla. So for instance, on kosher tashmish ben b'yom ben b'layla, if it has no specific mating preferences, so then nolad ben b'yom ben b'layla. Now, for instance, when we talk about whatever mates during the day, and only during the day, will deliver during the day, that's chickens. Kosher tashmish b'layla, anything that mates only during the nighttime, will only deliver at nighttime. That's a bats. Again, for instance, kosher tashmish ben b'yom ben b'layla, that's humans and other primates and so on. V'chol d'damilei. So now, the implications, I mean, you know, what is this, a biology class? So what are the halakhic implications? You're telling me, I need to give you an example, chickens only mate in the day, and therefore they only lay eggs in the day. Who the heck cares? Well, my nafkamina. Ah, ha! Tremendous nafkamina, the gabi beta shenol de biyantov. Because the case would be, like Rav Mori Bereder of Kana. Rav Mori Bereder of Kana says, if you went ahead and you look through your chicken coop, right at the end of Erev Yantiv, right? Sunset, you don't find any eggs in your chicken coop. The next morning, early in the morning, before sunrise, you get up and you find an egg. Aha! That egg was not laid on Yantiv. What do you mean it was not laid? But you checked before and it wasn't there. What are you telling me? It wasn't laid on Yantiv because chickens don't lay eggs at night. I mean, come on. I checked. Well, Ema lo badak yafa yafa. Maybe they didn't check properly, you know? People think they check, then they go back there the 101st time, and it's right there in front of their noses. It happens all the time. Or, even if he had checked properly, maybe this was a Rabbi Yochanan moment, you know? Those famous Rabbi Yochanan moments. Bah, 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 bah! So it couldn't get the egg out, but it actually had laid the egg, technically, Erev Yantiv. You didn't find it because you didn't look inside the bird. But then when it does come out afterwards, it was actually an egg that had been laid before Yom Tov. So then it would go, that's the Gemara. But Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul says exactly the opposite. Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul quotes Rav as saying that if you checked your chicken coop erev yontov by sunset and there was no egg in it, and you get up early in the morning and you find an egg in it, that egg is osir. So why do you explain that? No, that's not a real egg. That's one of those phony modern eggs. Eggs that are there without being part of reproduction. They're just, chickens lay eggs. You give them hormones. You encourage them to believe that they are chickens doing their thing. But they're really not. They're chickens making eggs for breakfast. Those are not the kind of eggs that they think they're laying, But those kind of eggs, because they're not fertilized, they can lay at any time. It's not part of their normal reproduction. Wait a minute. If that's the case, then the previous case, how could Rav Mori say, well, the egg couldn't have been laid at night? Why couldn't it have been laid at night? Maybe it was laid at night because it wasn't a real egg. It was a human-demanded egg made for breakfast. And eggs for champions are laid even at night because it has nothing to do with reproduction.
Chicken day starts more earlier than the human.
No, this human got up so early a chicken couldn't beat him.
Or the rooster crowed.
That's what we're getting to, is the rooster crowing. No, that's okay. As long as the rooster didn't get to her, So answers the Gemara, it's talking about there's a rooster around. And if there's a rooster around, then this is a fertilized egg.
He comes home to roost, does he?
Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. Just because there's a rooster around doesn't mean that the rooster's been all that successful, it's not quite 1, 2, 3. So just b'ni'ikas ochran, maybe it was safana mi'ara? How do you know? Omer Avina, because when there's a rooster around, you can't fool her into the compromise eggs. She's waiting for the real thing. So Gemiri, we have a Kabbalat Kolecha Dehika Zohar. If there's a rooster handy, she's not going to be encouraged to lay an egg that's a Fana Miara. And therefore, this egg's got to be a daytime egg, not a nighttime egg. And that's what Mari was referring to. Okay, and what is considered to be the range of the rooster? In other words, at what point would we be modern saying there's no rooster around? Is that like no rooster in the house, no rooster in the neighborhood? What exactly does this chicken, kick up that it's going to wait for this rooster to come out of high water? What is that talking about? It's as long as it can hear that rooster. What do roosters do? Crowing. It can hear that rooster crowing during the daytime. During the daytime, it's harder to hear things in the daytime. To wit, Richie's up all night, doesn't sleep, he says, but in the daytime, he doesn't hear a thing. Much harder to hear. So the Shame Kala be a mama, and if it can hear that rooster crowing, it is not going to be fooled into Zafana Miara. And actually, Rav Mori once passed in Halacha Lamaisa, where he checked Erev Yontov, did not find an egg, got up early in the morning, and there was no rooster in the area within 60 homes. Atshitimbot. And I'll tell you something else. If there's a river between the rooster and his prey, then lo avra. He's not going to cross the river. But Igamavra, however, if there's a bridge, yes, then they could always get there.
They get to the other side, has a whole new insight.
But how about if there's a mitzra? A mitzra is those kind of bridges that you got to hold on to the string on either side of the rope and cross. Now, the rooster's got a little bit of a problem over there holding on with its wings on the other side. It's a balance issue. And over there, the chickens are afraid, Okay, so in these cases, lo.
Chicken.
But there was once a case where Avraham Meitzra, it managed to cross the Meitzra, Anyway, so what are you saying now? You're saying that it's a Fana Miyar. And we know that there was no rooster around. So then why does it have to be talking about a case where you were a Bodek? And if you weren't a Bodek, so if you lo Bodek Nami, if you weren't Bodek in Rabbi Yosef Reb Shaul's case, so then why, if it's a Fana Miyara, what would be the problem? Kilo Bodak, no. If it was not, then indeed you would have a right to be made. Because even though Zafana Miyara could have come at night, you say, what's the problem? Definitely Yosef. No, maybe it came from before. Say, Ibn Meyat Malavoy. I don't understand. So then, if it was Bodak, you could say the same thing. If you're telling me I could be Mako because maybe, so then why can't I be Mako because maybe it was one of those Rabbi Yochanan cases where it had come out and gone back in, and therefore even if I checked, I should say, well, you know, you never know. Maybe it actually had been laid before, but it was a Rabbi Yochanan case. No, come on. I mean, that's already going too far. Rabbi Yochanan, lo shchiyah. It's rare that you have that kind of a problem that requires a C-section. I don't call it C-sections because they're chicken sections. So because of that, we don't assume the cases of Rabbi Yochanan. Once we're on Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amar Rav, we have one other case where Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul quoted Rav in Halakha L'maisa, and that was Haituma Shechika, a crushed garlic cannot be left uncovered. And it's a sakanta v'guluya, you have to worry about something getting in there and poisoning it. Now, the next case that we have in our Halakha Mishnah is that Beit Shammai Omrim, Seor B'Kesayit V'Chametz B'Kikotevet. So we have, yes, here for the week before Pesach, we have a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We're going to see that the machloket is only in terms of the Chiyav of Biur and Ba'ayir, Rabbi Yomatzeh, not the Gabi Achila, but at this point the Gemara hasn't figured this out yet. So we think perhaps it may be Nogei Achila as well. What would be Beit Shammai's logic? Because, says Beit Shammai, look, I mean, what would be, if it's all the same, what would be the point of the Torah's mentioning separate chametz and separate seor? Let the Torah mention only chametz, and I won't even have to ever talk about seor. And I would say to myself, well, obviously, if the Torah asks chametz, she'en chimutzo kasher, which, I mean, chametz doesn't make other things chametz. And even so, it's an isra of achila, it's a shir of a kezayin. Seor, which is chimutzo kasher. I mean, it's so powerful, sour, though, it'll make other things chametz. So for sure, that will be osir with the shir of a kezayin. Why, then, does the Torah bother writing the din of seor separately? So then, seor, the kasher rachman olam, need to tell me. Shiro shel zeh, lo kishiro shel zeh. It's got to be telling you, do not learn out the shir of the chametz and the seor as being the same. Rather, what we should say is that the shear of the kikotevet, that is one of the shear that we have along the Meshami Sinai, is the next shear up, and that would be the shear that defines chametz. Ubetil, what does Betil do with that logic? Says Betil, well, it's obvious. You need to have both chametz and sa'or, because let's say the Torah would only have written sa'or. I would have said, okay, the Torah is only makbid on sa'or of eating it, because the sa'or, after all, is so powerful. But when it comes to chametz, chametz is not that powerful to be the chametz acherim. Maybe the Torah is not makbid on it. So chametz taken with so kashem, although tzricha. But on the other hand, suppose the Torah would have said, don't eat chametz. I said, well, yes, chametz you can eat. But sourdough is not really edible when it's two chametz. And therefore, since it's not royal akhila, maybe the Torah didn't ask it at all. Emelo, therefore I need both. And I would say, sour shein royal akhila, not tzricha. But wait a minute, I'm confused over here. You're telling me that Beit Shammai doesn't hold of the diuk of Rabbi Zeira? Rabbi Zeira points out, it says that Se'or lo yimatzei bevatechem, right? So it starts off discussing Se'or. And then it completes the same pasuk by saying, ki kol ochel machmetzet. Se'or lo yimatzei, because, I don't get it. So we have two separate things, right? Se'or, and we change in mid-sentence. What is the point? But tell me, zero star, zero chametz. It's the same thing, meaning they have exactly the same shiurim. Well, of course he agrees with that, but that's as far as eating is concerned. Yeah, you don't understand. The drasha that we made before about the lo yera elecha chametz, v'lo yera elecha se'or, was only in terms of ba'al yera el ba'al yimatzeh. Nothing to do with eating. Of course, Rabbi Zera's drasha, where it says, kikol ochel machmetz, anybody who eats. Of course, I made that chametz and sar is the same thing. It says a shir of achila. Shir of achila is a kezayit. That wasn't the machlokes. Kliyam lo plige. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that the shir of achila of both sar and chametz is in fact a kezayit. The only machloket is a gabe biur. Beit Shammai says, well, look, there's two different denim over here. Lo yafino biur miachila. We do not learn one from the other. And the only diet that Rabbi Zera was making was in the idea of called ochel machmetz. Anybody who eats it, fine. But if the Torah has to write lo yera elecha chametz, lo yera elecha sar, it's gufa coming to tell me that there's a different shiur of bayira, bayira, and bayimatzeh than there is on the din of achila. And they're not equivalents, because if there are equivalents, why are you writing them separately? That's my whole point. Whereas Beit Hillel says, actually, we learn out one from the other. And over there, Beit Hillel Omrin, Zevezeh, Bekezai. Then, in fact, there is a brayta that says the same thing. Tanya Namiyachi, Lo Yera Elaka Kamech, Lo Yera Elaka Sa'or. Only in this case, the Biur is the Machlokes, Bein Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. Where there, Beit Shammai says Sa'or, Bekezai, Fakom, Bekezai, and Beit Hillel Omrin, Zevezeh, Bekezai. Mashma'ut being that when it comes to Achila, there would not be any Machlokes.
Just a question of Pesach, but the Mashukul in of
chametz. That's a question. We'll discuss them in context. Whether there's an issa, it's a big machlokas. The shir ba'yira ba'yamatzah, whether there's any din of biur on less than a kezayis b'chol. That is their point of being mavayir chametz. That is a tiny piece. There's no din of biur b'chol.
Sourdough.
Yeah. Harshochet chaya ba'ov b'yom tov. As a matter of fact, you know, let us look at the Mishnah because we're going to be medayik the words of the Mishnah. So let's remind ourselves of the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah like this, Hashochet Chaya Va'ov B'Yom Tov, which is very confusing because Hashochet usually means somebody went ahead and checked, right? It said, Hashochet, remember, Kulin went through the whole thing, Hashochet is B'Yabad. So Hashochet, Beit Shammai says, well, go ahead and dig up the dirt to do the Kisur Yadam. And Yachbar B'Tek V'Chaseh. And Beit Hillel says, no, no, don't check. Don't check unless you already have it. Mukhran Mibod Yom. And then it says, there are modin that if you did check, which is what it said before, Hashochet, you did check. So something's funny. We're motivated that if you did check, but then Beit Hillel also says, well, go ahead and dig it up and cover it. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to get to the bottom of that language and takes the Mishnah, as it always does, piece by piece, just to show you how inconsistent the Mishnah is. So if we take that first word, Hashochet, that word always means bidiyavad. You went ahead and you did something you shouldn't have done. This mashma was already checked, but mechatchila. If he's coming to shech, we tell him, no, you're not allowed to shech. You don't have the ability to do kisui. And yet, then it goes ahead and says, Beit Hillel omrim lo yishkot, which is mashma, that hashochet would mean even lechatchila would be okay. Because Beit Hillel is saying, lo yishkot, lechal tehanakam, asof yishkot, even lechatchila. I don't get it. So how do we read that? No, what it means is like this. Lo yishkot v'yechaseh ka'omar. What he means is, Beit Hillel is saying, you're not supposed to do the kisui. That's the point. In other words, Beit Hillel wasn't going back to say you shouldn't shecht. Obviously, you already did the shechting. But he's saying, look, don't complete the shechita with the kisui, because even if you already shechted, you cannot be mechaseh the dam. Really now? Did you read the rest of the Mishnah? Ema seifa umodim she'im shakat she'achbar b'dek v'yechaseh. Now, wait a minute. It says that that's not true. That Beit Hillel says if you went ahead and checked it anyway, that then you should be mechaseh dam if you've got a deker stuck in the ground. Okay, now that implies that in the Reisha, it did not mean hashochet if you already checked it, because here it says if you already checked it, that Beit Hillel says you should do kisui adam. So how do we understand the mission now? Omar Rabba, the meaning of hashochet is not that you already checked it. The meaning of hashochet is you wish to come along to shecht. That's the point. He's coming to ask. He's coming to ask you a shayla. Can I shecht? So what do you tell him? So Beit Shammai says, you tell him, please go right ahead and shecht. And after you shecht, you can go dig up some dirt with your deker, and you can cover it up. Whereas Beit Hillel says, we tell him, nope, you should not shecht unless you have afar that is ready from before. That's how Rabba says it. Rabbi Yosef says, Hachikom, the guy is coming to ask a shayla, Hashochet, he's Bodhi Malev. What do you tell him? Beit Shammai says, you tell him, as opposed to Rabba. Rabba said, Beit Shammai tells him, go right ahead and check. But Rabbi Yosef says, Beit Shammai tells him, well, wait a minute, before you check, dig up some dirt. Then go check. And then be Bechasa. And Beit Hillel says, no, you tell him you're not allowed to check unless you've already got the dirt ready. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, now look, I notice that you're being very careful to say it different than Rabba said. You're not using the same words. You're claiming that Beit Shammai says, dig it up first. Now I'm assuming that you mean that very advisedly, you know. And what you and Rabba are arguing about is Lema Marva Rabba are arguing about Rabbi Zera Omar Rav's famous halacha. Come here, Flingy. The Omar Rabbi Zera Omar Rav, Hashochet Tzor Shitein Afalamata V'Afalamala. In order to do a proper Kisui Adam, Sir Richard, you have to lay down some dirt first, do the shita that the blood drips on the dirt, and then cover it over with other dirt. Why? Because it says, V'Shafakat Damo V'Kisahu Be'Afa. Not Kisahu Afa, cover the blood using dirt, but cover that blood in dirt. Afar lo nemar ela be afar, which teaches us. You need to surround that blood with freshly presented dirt under it and above it.
So that the blood comes onto dirt?
Exactly.
And then gets
so you, Rabbi Yosef, who said, first dig, then check, is because you need to soften that dirt. And Rabbah doesn't hold Rabbi Zera, so he says, first check, and then cover it with dirt. Said Rabbi Yosef, no, please. Bengla didi, bengla rabba. We're not arguing, me and Rabbi, about whether Rabbi Zera's halakha is true. Everybody agrees. You have to have dirt on the bottom and dirt on the top. We're certainly not arguing. But what are we arguing about? Hakom aflagina. Rabbi says, if you've already got some dirt on the ground, then and only then do we allow you to shech and to dig up new dirt to put on top. But if not, we will not allow you to first dig up dirt to soften it, then to go ahead and check, and then put on other dirt. Why? Because what if you change your mind? So then you ended up doing this whole thing for no reason. And therefore, he says, no. If there's dirt already there, fine. If not, we're worried, the guy's going to get tired. Oh, this is such a schlep already. I got no connect. Forget it. We'll do without that extra chicken. We got enough to eat without it. And therefore, I don't allow it. What if he changes his mind? Whereas I say, on the contrary, hadifa, better to do it this way. You know why? Because if you're not going to be matar him to go ahead, so then that's going to determine how much food he's going to have for yontif. He's going to be moneah from simchas yontif. Better that there's a chance at having another chicken for yontif. There's a problem, so change his mind and get lazy. No, not the end of the world. If we don't allow him to do it, he may end up not getting that extra chicken because he doesn't have that dirt. And that would be awful, being left without another chicken for yontif. Yeah, we're going to talk about what type of digging, but as we said, it's talking about that the deker was stuck in there, mibod yom, and the offer is tichoa. The offer is loose, and therefore it's not really considered to be. Yeah, well, this is all part of the question of barchirei ochel nefesh, how much were matir before and so on, which we need to discuss at length in the Gemara. What in the world is that supposed to mean? My mitziata nigmara. And it's buteret lochla bechalav, which would imply that bimei ima it's asur lochla bechalav. It says in the brayta the opposite. Vatanya shocheta tatarnegolet umatzaba beitzim gemurot. They are mutarot to eat bechalav. Unless what you mean is im yitziata nigmara, which means that only if it was completely laid before Yom Tov is it allowed to be eaten. But if you shechted a bird on Yom Tov and you find eggs in it, it's also eaten in Yom Tov. But if that's what it means, then it's going against the bright of Atanya. Maybe what Rav is saying is that the bright is wrong. Because that's not true, because the first Mishnah indeed just says that. And note that even Betel would be matter. But if you want to tell me, and the only reason it says Nolda is to tell me, I'll leave it to Beit Shammai, that even Nolda, which you might think would be Yosser, even that is Mutter. So then, how would you explain the bright, would work out according to no one? Lo Beit Shammai, because according to Beit Shammai, it's trivial, because he holds even Nolda as Mutter Koshke Bimei Iman. And it doesn't work out about Beit Hillel, because it's wrong. So therefore, there's got to be another explanation. Ela im yitziata nigmara means in terms of being incubatable eggs. And it's nigmara megadelet efrochim, but bimei ima ina megadelet efrochim. Lemain efkemina lemekachu memka. Kehudi omalu. I want clucking eggs by the pachelamah, and he's delivered by the shkuta, and he sues for his money back. Not the kind of Rabami, and Rabami indeed rules in his favor. Nekach ta'utu v'hagat. Obviously, I mean, he said he wants a different kind of egg than it was delivered. Pshita. Ah, because Ma'adetema, actually, are the Achila Kaboilov. The only reason he was saying the Pachya is not for incubatable, but because it's treatment. Yum, yum, yum. So, Lamayinav Kamino, the Mitfila Bene Bene. But it's not Mechtot. Kamash Maman. A good Yamal of Beit Dichra Laman. Beit Dichra Laman. Yavul of Beit the Safana Miara, which are obviously infertile. Atala Kamir Babi. Amal, well, to Mechtot Vahada. Obviously. No, not obviously. Because I might have thought I'd come. I actually boiled the Achila. But I'd come at the Yichra. We shouldn't. The Shemitah Tfe. Lamayinav Kamina. Lametfala Beni Beni. Kamashulan. Viba Itema by Im Yitziat Anigmara. Im Yitziat Ruba Nigmara. Rabbi Yochanan. The Om Rabbi Yochanan. Beitzar Shiatzar Ruba Mi Rabbi Yom Tov. Vachazra. Muteret Vachlab Yom Tov. Or maybe just the opposite. Maybe my Yitziat Anigmara. Dafka im yitziat kula nigmara, but yitziat kula im but ruba lo lafukim in Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, good. Getting back to the bright, Ashochet et atarnagol of batzaba beitzim gemrot muntarot laochlan bechalav. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov Omer, well, if they're meurot begidin, they're asurot. Now, who is the author of the following bright? Ochel min yivat of tahor min ashlal shel beitzim min atzamot min agidin. It's not to be achila, and it's not matame bebet abliyah. It's tor. But if he eats b'nesh koshal abetzim, mina korka v'nevne me'ayin, or he melts down the chelev u'gumo'o, it's tome. So man tana min ashlal shabetzim tahor. On Rav Yehuda, well, it can't be Rav Yaakov, because according to Rav Yaakov, imayum urot begidim it's asurot, which shows that it's baser. Who's to say it's because it's Bosser? Maybe it's a Gezera. So fine. We're Machmer. But Linyan Tuma, we're not Machmer. Vechitek Linyan Tuma Nami Nigzar. Why wouldn't we be just make the same Gezera for Tuma? Because Afushi Tuma, Afushi Tuma and Rabbana Lomavshi. Ve'yigri Amri. Others say that what Rabbi Yosef pointed out is Mantana Mina Eshko Shal Beitzim Tamei. And Rabbi Yosef said it to Rabbi Yaakov, who says that Mu'urot Beginim Zasurais. And in this version, what Abayas said was, Mimai de Eshko means Beitzim that are hanging on the Eshko. Maybe it's eating the Eshko Gufe. Vechitam Eshko Gufe Mala Memra. Midadavi Akur Kavat, Novene Me'ai. De Afagav de Basanina. Given the Ike Injeish de Lo Achlele. Maybe it's Eitzan Rei Lachila, so therefore it's a Chashmina. It's the same thing over here about the Eshkol Akinam. Given the Ikin Shlachli, it's a Chashmina. Tanarabba. Any species which is Tashmisha Beyom is Nola Beyom. Kosha Tashmisha Balayla is Nola Balayla. Kosha Tashmisha Bein Beyom Bein Balayla is Nola Bein Beyom Bein Balayla. So Kosha Tashmisha Beyom Nola Beyom is a reference to chickens. Kosha Tashmisha Balayla Nola Balayla is a reference to bats. Kosh tashmish bein biyom bein balayla is like humans or primates. Omama, kosh tashmish biyom nola biyom refers to chickens. Who cares? Aha! Like Ramoy Bereder of Kana. I'm Ramoy Bereder of Kana. Badak bikinasha tarnagodam erev yom tov. Veloma tzaba beitza. And lamachar, you get up early in the morning before sunrise, you find a beitza. Obviously it was there before, and it's mutar. What do you mean, obviously it was there before? Although badak. Well, apparently he didn't do a good job. Emelo badak yafa yafa. And the truth is, afilo badak yafe. Maybe it was one of those Rabbi Yochanan cases where it was yotz teruba v'chazrahave to Rabbi Yochanan. Wait a minute. Didn't Rabbi Yosef ben Shulam and Rav say that if you're badak b'kina shatarnagolim erivyanta v'lo matzah b'beitzah, and the next morning you get up early and you find a beitzah tzasura. So apparently it can be late at night. Yeah, but that's where it was not a real egg, it was a fooled egg made for breakfast. And you got to make it in the night for it to be fresh for breakfast, you know. So is this Safana Miara? So then I don't get it. It's in the case before. How do you know that it wasn't a Safana Miara egg? And it should be us, if it wasn't there the day before. So if Mori Nami, Eman Miara Safana? No, he was talking about a case where there is a crowing rooster in the area. So what? Just because a crowing rooster doesn't mean that he got to fertilize it. Maybe it was Miara Safana. Amaravina Gamiri Kolechadi Kazachar, you can't fool the chicken into second best, and it's what Safanami are. The Atkama Omer of Gamda Mishmei Rav Kolechadi Shame Kale Biyamam. Ovid Ramori, Alokala Maisa, Ot Shitin Bote, Veikan Ara, you can't get that rooster over the Nar. Veika Mavra, then if there's a bridge, well, they could have gotten together. That's why bridges, as you know, I call them the Lover's Lane bridges. Veika Mitzra, Lo Avra, actually was Avuud of Avra Mitzra. Anyway, Bamayu came to the Safana Miara. So then, why do we say if we were Bodak, and if you weren't Bodak, I mean, it should be us or anyway. A kilo badak, you have a right to say that it was there yesterday. So then if you were by that, maybe it was there yesterday, but it was yatz teruba v'chazer like Rabbi Yochanan. Nah, come on, Rabbi Yochanan's not so shnia. Once one Rabbi Yosef ben Shoah quoting Rav, there was another case of Haituma Shechika, where Rav had been reported by him to say that it's a kanta ligunuya. Bet Shammai amrim sa'ar b'kezayah. Mai ta'amai. The Beit Shammai, because he says, look, the Torah doesn't have to write Tzor lo yimatzei and Chametz lo yimatzei. I mean, write one of them, write Chametz, and I don't need to know Tzor lo yimatzei. V'ana aminu ma Chametz shen chimutzo kasher is because Zayet, Tzor shen chimutzo kasher lo kosheke. What's the point of writing Tzor? L'kata v'chon alam ali? L'omar l'chash yirosh hazeh lo kish yirosh hazeh. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you need to know both. Because he got the Rakhonar Sa'or, I have a minimum of Chimutzo Kosha. I have a Chometz, the Ein Chimutzo Kosha, Emolo Tricha. Then on the other hand, the Torah wrote Chometz. I would say, okay, Chometz is Roy Lachila. The Mamela were Makbid, even on the Lo Yimatze. But on the something that's not Roy Lachila, maybe when I'm Makbid, Sa'or Shein Roy Lachila Emolo, therefore Tricha. I don't get it. You're telling me that Beit Shammai doesn't talk of Rabbi Zera, Domir Bezera. The Torah opens up discussing Sa'ar Beferish, right? It says that there's Sa'ar Lo Yimatzei, and then it goes, Kikol Oka Machmetzah. How does that make sense? Is it Sa'ar or is it Chometz? To teach you that the exact whole point. Zeh Sa'ar, Zeh Chometz. And that's as far as Kol Ochel. That's in terms of Achila. Everybody's made that. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel hold it's a Kezayit. All achilas b'kizayit. Kolonah lo plige. Ki plige only le'inyin biur. So Beit Shammai was saying, lo yafinam biur me'achila. And Beit Hillel was saying, yafinam biur me'achila. It banami am Rabbi Yisbar b'chanina, machloket le'inyin biur, avlini achila, hakol, dibri hakol, zeh v'zeh b'kizayit. Tani nami achi, lo yirelach hachamet, lo yirelach hasa'or. This and only this, Benogia Biur and Ba'yiroes, the Machlokes, Ben Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, should Beit Shammai Omrim Tzor B'Kizayit V'Chometz B'Kikotevet, and Beit Hillel Omrim Zeh V'Zeh B'Kizayit. Hashulchet Chayev Ha'ov B'Yom Tov. Mashma, the word Hashulchet, is only B'Di'avat. But L'Chatchila, apparently nobody owns. You're allowed to shech. So then how do you explain Hema Seifa? Beit Hillel Omrim, no, don't shech. So according to the Tanakhama, Mashu, you can go right ahead and shech. No, that doesn't bother me so much. I mean, lo yishkot could mean don't do the full shkita, which would include the gisri. Maybe that's the point. No, ema sefer. Umodim, that if you already had shech, it'd be diavad. Sheyakwa v'dekav yechaseh b'teil ha'osodz, you can do that. So Mikhval the Reish is not talking about b'diavad, it's talking about the chatchila. So why does it say ha'shochet? Omar Rabbah, the Mishnah means like, Hashochet means a guy is coming to shecht. He's asking a shayla, can I shecht or not? So what does the Baal HaRoah tell him? Ketzer Amrullah. So Beit Shammai Amrim Amrullah, what's your problem? Go shecht. And then you could dig it up, the dirt, and you'll be mechasen. Beit Hillel Amrim lo yishkot, elim ken hayalo afar mukhan mibod yom. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says almost the same thing with a slight difference. Okay, come on. Hashochet, yes, he's coming to ask. What do you tell him? Beit Shammai says, you can dig it up even before. First dig it up, and then check. Bimachase, Beit Hillel Amrim, no. Leishkot, Elim Kenayelo, Afar Mokhan, Bibod Yom. So why would Rabbah have said that, no, you have to check first. So apparently, Omerle, Avayel, Rav Yosef, wait, are you and Rabbah arguing about Rav Zera Marav? Come up, Sagito. The Omer of Zelm Rava Shofetz Ar Shitin Ofer Lamata Ofer Lamala Shama Vashafachat Amovich Itzel Be'afar. Does it say Afar? It says Be'afar. Lamisha Shofetz Ar Shitin Ofer Lamata Ofer Lamala. Apparently you hold that you tell him first dig in order that there should be Ofer Lamata because you hold of Rebbe Zer. And Rava says first chef because he doesn't hold of Rebbe Zer. I'm like, no. Both of us hold of Rebbe Zer. So Ben Nadidi Ben La Rabba Yitlan the Rebbe Zer. Our machlokes is as follows. Rabba says you can tell him to shecht if he's ready to shecht. So in other words, if there's already offer lamata, you can tell him to go ahead and shecht. But if there's no offer lamata, then you can't. Why? Because he may just change his mind after he does all of this tirfa of getting around. Forget it. It's too much of it. So duma mimlach v'lo shachit. Whereas I say on the contrary, ha'adifa, I'd prefer for him to do the digging and prepare for the shkita. If you're not going to be matarim to do that, he's going to have a chicken less. And atelim nuei bisimchat yom tov. Good morning, all you wonderful diehards. Never giving up, despite the fact that I sound like a frog, and I'm all over the world trying to keep up with you. Currently in Toronto doing today's daf, which is daf Zion. And we got up to the, we were in the middle of an interesting sugya of people who wanted special kind of eggs, crowing over eggs, and today we have, and we're up to now the sixth line down, Adav Zayin Amin Aleph, Sechad Beitza. Now, who the Omer Leit Beya de Dichra Laman? There's another guy who went around trying to purchase eggs of a male, meaning eggs that had been fertilized by a male, and not eggs that are called Safana Mi'ara. Safana Mi'ara is a way of referring to eggs that have been laid without fertilization, which means they've been heated, turned on, so to speak, from the ground itself, from the earth itself, rather than by any kind of activity with a male. And obviously those would not be, they might be very good to eat, certainly not very good to have children with, and they won't hatch. Yavle beda Safana Mi'ara. And instead, he sold this gentleman Safana Mi'ara eggs. Also, Lakami to Rabami, and so once again, Rabami was asked to judge the case. It's all a big mistake. Money has to be refunded. Pshita, obviously, the man said, fairish, that's what he wants. I might have thought that actually it wasn't as if these eggs were valueless, I'm just getting all this money back, and he really wanted to eat it. I think Armad Adichar, the only reason he was asking for eggs that were fertilized is not because he wanted to actually incubate eggs, but rather Mishum the Shamina to that. He felt that they were healthier and they were more, they had more fat in them, and they were better to eat, which would be a small nafka meal. My nafka meal, the difference would be therefore not to completely return his money, despite the fact that he specifically mentioned he wanted one thing and got another. It wouldn't have meant a complete bitul of a mekach, but rather would have meant lamed filei beni beni. The difference would be bitul mekach, or restoration of the minor difference in price. Kamashman, therefore, Rabami, who passed it against the sellers, is teaching us that when somebody asks Beit HaDichra, the assumption is that he wants Bedavka to have eggs that he can incubate. He wants chicks, and therefore the whole cell is Batela Muvotal. Or we could now go back. Now remember, we have to pop up one level. Remember how we got onto this whole thing. We were trying to figure out what the meaning of the Maimer was for Vuna, who said in Rav's name that Beitzan Yitziata Nigmra. The Beit Zah is only completed as it's coming out. We thought of all kinds of differences. The last one, the third one that we thought of that stood, was that it means in terms of its ability to have a chick. So that's how we got onto this whole issue of somebody who wanted Dafka Beitzim that would be capable of having chicks. Going back now to the original understanding of what he could have meant with an egg is only completed at the instant that it's laid, it's coming to tell me, my mitziyat nigmara, imitziyat ruba nigmara, that he's coming to teach us that a halacha indeed in terms of yontif, and what it means is that the egg is completed once it's mostly laid. And what's the chiddush? Chiddush is to tell me, look at the Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Rabbi Yochanan, b'tzash yatzah ruba mi'erev yom tov. Let's say that an egg mostly had come out and was laid, and then the bird was unable to expel it completely. V'chazra, and that was, it let it back in before expelling it. And then, if in fact it's laid on yontav, it does not have a din of a beit hashanol to be yontav, as muteret lochla b'yontav, you can eat it on yontav itself, because halacha is that it was completed before. And therefore, is Mulchan. Others on a variation of this last theme. On the contrary, that what Rav was actually saying, what Ravuna was quoting from Rav, is that bedavking yitziyata, meaning mitziyat kula, it only is completed when it's finally laid. But then it's considered to be nolad, and if it's nolad completely before yantam, then it's kosher avu ruba lo. And lafukim in Rav Yochanan, according to this version, actually what Rav was trying to say is that Rav Yochanan is wrong, and unless the egg completely was available on Erev Yontev, it's considered to be in a minimum. Guva. Now let's take a look once again at the braita that we mentioned earlier, Shochet at the Tarnagolet. Matzaba beitzim gemurot mutarot lachlan b'chalav. If somebody shechs a chicken and finds in it completed eggs, now the question is what exactly is meant by completed. Tosfos brings that some don't even have the word completed, because then the continuation of the circuit speaks about the egg still being attached by various attached tissues. Doesn't make any sense. But the way Rashi understood earlier, that gemuras does not mean gemuras that it has an actual shell around it. It means gemuras that the yolk is completed without a hard shell, and all it has is a membrane around it, then there's really no problem, because then it could actually be murot begidin, as we'll see in a moment. Rabbi Yaakov says the egg is not always mutter with milk if it's inside of the chicken. If this egg is still connected with tissue to the bird, so then it's asurot, it's considered to be meat and not an egg. Ask the Gemara if that's gizmantan al tan rabbanan, who is the author of the following brisa, that we know that a nivlat of tahor is a very unusual kind of thing, because a nevela of a kosher bird will not be metame one if it's touched, but will only be metame if it's eaten. And then if it's eaten, it will not only be metame him, it will be metame even what he's wearing at the time that he eats it, and only if you eat its actual flesh. But, now says the brisa, ochem nivlat of tahor min ha-shalal shabitzin. Somebody, however, doesn't eat the actual flesh of the bird, but rather eats from a group of eggs that were, the word of sha'al means that they were growing still, and all are attached together. So they are still now at the base of the spine of the bird, still attached together. Mina atzamot, or someone who eats from the bones of this bird. Then he's tohar, because it's not considered to be part of the basar. Min hagidin, somebody who eats from tendons, according to this Madiomer holds, ein begidin benoteng tam, that gidin do not really have any taste, therefore they're not called basar. Vimin habasar shenitlash min hachai, or from flesh that was detached from a living bird, therefore doesn't have a din of a nivlas of tahar. In all of these cases is tahar, because the din of nivlas of tahar is only with the flesh of a dead bird. Min hashkosha beitzim. Now, if he actually eats not from the shalal shel bitzim, but from the ashkol itself, which is the flesh, at the point where the eggs are connected to, o min hakur kevan, uvnei ayim, where he eats from the gizzard or the intestine, digestive system, o shimcha et achelev ugma'o, where he melts the fat of the bird, which of course is a very popular kind of food, so he's a grievance, and he now swallows that. In all these cases, it's tummy, because these things do have a din of basar, and therefore it's as if the ate the basar nevela, swallowing that, it's nivlasov tahor, and he becomes tamei. Nivlasov tahor, of course, meaning kosher, tamei meaning tamei in terms of ritual impurity. Don't get confused by the strange, sounds like an oxymoron, nivlasov tahor tamei. Now, Man Tana, what we'd like to know is, in light of the above, who exactly now is the Tana who says that Neshalal shall be tzim tahar, that if you eat from the eggs, they're internal, all still connected, they're tahar, because they're not considered to be flesh. Rav Yosef says, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'll tell you who it's not. It can't be going according to Rabbi Yaakov, because Rabbi Yaakov said before that imayumu urad begitim asurot, that eggs that are still connected to the flesh are also to eat with milk, because they're considered to be meat. So apparently, according to him, that means that they would be part of the animal. If you ate them, it would be the same as eating the flesh. You should be tummy. Omalei Abayas, or Abaya, Taina Rabbi Yosef. I don't see how you can say that at all. Mimai, where do you see that Rabbi Yaakov would have said such a thing? Dilma, maybe even according to Shita of Rabbi Yaakov, we would not consider them to be flesh. Because I can look from Rabbi Yaakov asam alinini surah, alinini tumalo. All that Rabbi Yaakov was saying in the price is that the evidence of Basar is in terms of not eating them because of the Yisr Basar B'cholov. But so the Rabbanon maybe would go Yisr not to eat them together with milk. But as far as Tumah, maybe there is no Gezerah. Maybe no things like Mikratin. It's a Gezerah Chachomim, V'chi Teima. And if you'll tell me, well, that would be ridiculous. I mean, if the Chachomim would go Yisr to call them Basar in terms of eating with Cholov, why wouldn't they be Gezer also in terms of Tumah? When you Tumah Naminigza, there's a very good reason not to be Gezer, to be Matam with them. Because we have a rule of Ifushi Tumah. That would be being Marbet Tumah. And the din is a Fushi Tumah, the Rabbanon lo Mafshinon. Where it is possible not to be Marbet through a Gezerah, the Rabbanon, to cause things to become Tumah, which can cause all kinds of problems with Tyrus, Truma, that was in the day, and then would end up being burned, Shaloki Ikra Hadin. So therefore, maybe the Rabbanon only goes in terms of Achim and not in terms of Tumah. What's so hard to imagine about that? Now others say over this last piece differently, that the shlal shel beitzim are not considered to be beitzim gemurot with gidim. They're considered to be beitzim gemurot, even though the mice they do not have a real shell. But the shell is in the process of formation, and therefore they're not considered to be well attached with gidim. So when it says eshkol shel beitzim, it doesn't mean the basar in which the beitzim are. It means beitzim that are really Mu'urites beginim. So that's the contrast between the Eshkol and the Shalal. So in this version, Mantana, who would be the one that would say that somebody who eats min Eshkol shall beitim is tamei, the second part, that says Rabbi Yosef, that's Rabbi Yaakov, because the Eshkol is by definition Mu'urites beginim, that would be eating flesh, and that's Rabbi Yaakov, the Amr, who is beginim, their Asr. According to him, this would be eating meat, to which in this version, Abaya said, not necessarily, how do you know? That the meaning of the word eshkol mentioned in the Braisa is referring to beitzim. Mihanik the Talya Beshkol, not that it's literally the Eshkol, which is the place where the Beitzim are connected to, but rather it's the Beitzim that are connected to the Eshkol. Dilma Eshkol Gufe. Maybe it's a reference to the actual place where the Beitzim sit inside the bird, which is definitely, according to everybody, where the older Rav Yaakov, who was referring to the eggs, or you don't, and this is certainly part of the bird itself, and then it would be going with Divrei Goleoma. Everybody agrees that the Eshkol itself is certainly meat. You'll say, well, obviously, I mean, what's the point of mentioning it then? If it meant literally the meat itself, what chiddush would there be? Why would the Braisa have to mention it? Of course, it's no different than the other meat. Well, note that the Braisa does mention the kurkava, mentions the bnei mi'ayin, and those things are certainly meat. So afagav, the basrin, and certainly nobody's going to argue that those are meat. There still was a thought that they would be not considered to be meat in terms of the din of tuma ochel, Tuma from someone who ate a nivlas of tahar. Why? Because given the gainish lo achle, there's plenty of people who find those things disgusting and wouldn't eat them. Maybe they're not considered to be achila. In which case, I would think the eshkol would be the same thing. Therefore, yitzrich lashmiina. There, what did you tell us that over there? Nobody complained that the Tana bothers mentioning the kurkav b'nei mi'ayin. So hachanami, the same thing would be true by the eshkol. Given the gainish lo achle, since there are people who wouldn't eat the eshkol, they find it disgusting. Yitzrich lashmiina. The Tana found it necessary to tell us it's considered to be part of the nivlas of tahar, considered to be the meat of the nivlas of tahar, and if you eat it, you would be tummy. Tana rabbanu. Kol shetashmisho bayom nolad bayom. They're very interesting Bryce over here that claims that basically we take a look at the nature of a particular species, and wherever a species normally will have sexual intercourse in the daytime, then that species also gives birth in the daytime. Then when intercourse takes place only at night, then the births take place only at night. When a species has no particular time which it's programmed to have intercourse, then the species will give birth, whether in the daytime or the nighttime. Anything whose intercourse takes place only in the day will only give birth in the day, is referring to the tarnagola, the chicken, will only lay an egg in the daytime. All things that have intercourse only at night will only give birth at night. That refers to bats. Zuat halef, bats do not give birth during the day. That refers to things like humans, and many other animals that are also not programmed for a particular time of intercourse. Does it really make a difference? Oh, this is the Gemara. Tremendous life, Gemina. Liquor, Mori Barei de Rav Kahana. Look, Mori Barei de Rav Kahana said, somebody goes, checks the cage where he had a tarnagol, he said, checks the chicken coop. We are of Yom Tov, and it's right before Yom Tov, and he does not find an egg in that coop. So now, the next day, he gets up early in the morning before Alisa Shachar, Yishkim, and he does find a bird. Now, you would have thought on the surface that certainly that egg had to have been born, it had been laid in the course of the night, and therefore it would be Betish and Aldebe Yom Tov. No, says Rav Mori Barei de Rav Kahana, actually it is Muteres, because since the Tarnagolim will only have intercourse in the daytime, the egg must have been laid the day before, and you simply didn't see it. And in which case, this is a Betish and Aldebe Erev Yom Tov. Ivalo Batak. You say, what do you mean? But the guy looked and it wasn't there. No, how many times do you look and they swear that something isn't there? And then by process of elimination, decide it's got to be there. You go back and sure enough, there it is. So Mimela, that would be exactly this case. There are few of Badak Yafa, and even in fact, the guy did check well. Maybe the fact was that this thing had been laid, but it had come out mostly, and then the bird was unable to expel it completely, and it would be going on to Rabbi Yochanan, who we just learned, who holds that once it's Yatsaruba, so then it's considered to be a Muchan, that's a Mutatin on Yantiv, and even though this is a rather unusual kind of event, but look, fact is we know it couldn't have been late today, and we know that he checked yesterday, so I guess this is the explanation, however unlikely it appears. Any is that true? Vam Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul Amarav, but if he kinnish on the grolas men of Yantav l'matzah b'beitza, l'mochr ishkim l'matzah b'beitza asura, doesn't Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul quote Rav as saying that if in fact you didn't find a beitza and find it there early the next morning, then you have to assume that it was born during the night? And it's just like, oh, awesome, there it's talking about b'safana miyara. That's talking about a beitza that was not fertilized, where it had nothing to do with intercourse. Since it had nothing to do with intercourse, it could have been born at any time. But what it was that Rav Mori was talking about was dafka fertilized eggs. And there we say, kotash mishu bayon is not a bayon. So I understand, so if that's the case, why doesn't Rav Mori have to worry that maybe miyara safana, and it was born during the night, so yachid Rav Mori nami ima miyara safana, how does he know whether it's fertilized or not? And it says the Gemara, but the Ikazoch, but that's talking about that this chicken is always around the male. So, but the Ikazoch, who cares? The Gemara, maybe Ikazoch, Nami, Emma, Miharas, the Fanab. Why? What makes you think that it came Dafka from a fertilized egg? I mean, it was possible it never got fertilized. It could have come from Safana de Yara. And therefore, again, why isn't Ikazoch that was born during the night it was considered to be a Beit Shanol to be on top? That the bird is only hard up enough to get heated from the ground, so to speak, if there's no male around. But there's a male around, then that's not going to happen, and it waits for intercourse to trigger the laying of the egg. The ad kama, how close does that male have to be to prevent safana miyara situations? Omer of gamta mishmei derav, kol hecha deshoma kale biyomama. As long as that zachar is close enough that he is able to be heard by his bow from the distance, and that's during the day, not during the night. During the night you can hear much further. it stresses me, your mama, it's considered to be she's stimulated only by the presence of the male and is not going to get heated by the ground. Ovid Rav Mori Uvdenha, Rav Mori was willing to paskin even in the case that a beitza was definitely not a safana miyara and must have been born before and not in the course of the night, in the case where it was found. Ah, cheating bate. It was 60 houses away, and nonetheless, he was matir the egg to be eaten, because he held it. There was no way that it could be safana miyara. It would only have laid an egg if it had been fertilized, in which case it must have been born during the daytime. Now, we need to also qualify this a bit. If there is a river between the male and the female, so then lo avra, the tarnagolet is not going to cross the river, in which case the beta may have been safana miyara. And ika mabra, if there is a ferry boat or a bridge over the river, then avra, it would have indeed crossed in order to get to the male, and therefore would not be safana miyara. Ika metzara, if there's only a bridge that's made out of a rope, so that it allows people to cross by holding on to it, and but certainly a tarnagolet does not feel rather comfortable on that, and the lo avra, in that case, Tanagal will not cross, and therefore is not dependent on the stimulus of the male, and we're going to assume that it was a fanamiyara. But actually, the Gemara is docha this, because there was an amazing story about Aviyud of Yavram. So there was this Tanagolot who was so hung up on this beautiful rooster that was across the river and made its way over on the rope. Which means that if there is a rope, you have to be, you can be sure that the Tanagolot was definitely focused on the male, wouldn't have been Tzafanamiyara. Okay, getting back to what Rav said before, that the beitza that was found on Yontef after having been checked the night before, the din over there is that it's considered to be, we say now, aser. But Mayu Kinta, in what case were we saying, according to what we just said, that it's aser? Dafka, an egg that was found in Miyara, in which case it could even have gotten born late at night. So why therefore did Rav say that the case talking about Badak, and only in a case where he checked it the day before and didn't find Kilo Badak Nami? I mean, why is it only because of the strong evidence that it was laid during the night? Why don't I always have to be chayshish that it was laid during the night? Ayo tiny because Safik Rabban and Lakula. In this case, we saw in the Gemara earlier, since it's a Dovash Yeshua Matirin, we should be Machmir. It says the Gemara, Kilo Badak Nami at Malhava. If there was no Badika, we should be Tela, because most Anagolim, even Beitza, there was Fanamihara, most Tanagolim will have it Dafka during the day. And we follow in this case the Rov, and we're not Chayesh that it took place, the laying of the egg took place in the night. So if that's the case, Yehochi, Ki Bodak Nami, if that's the case, why don't we rely on this Rov, even if you did check it, and say that it was a case of Yotzdarub of Chosra, like Yochanan, and that the reason you didn't find it is not because it wasn't there, it's because it was hidden inside of the chicken, haven't gone back in, so it wasn't completely laid. Yeah, it says the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan Loshriach to rely on a rove that tells us that something happened like Rabbi Yochanan is too strange because it doesn't happen very often. Therefore, we can't be tailored. We'll have to be tailored. It was Nailed Malayla, even though that's a negative rove, because it's more Shriach that it should give birth. It should lay an egg at night than that it should lay most of an egg and have it go back in. In which case, that we wouldn't be able to be saying, if you have now ground garlic, once we're talking about Rabbi Yosef and Shaul quoting Rav, he's telling you that ground garlic is a mesakona to leave in a place where it's megula, because poisonous reptiles will possibly drink from it and leave behind some venom. Well, another issue is, in our Mishnah, once we finish with the Beitza, is the din of a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that we brought, because these were the machlokas in which Beit Shammai was the kula, so it was the chumra, that all had to do with Yontev. So moving on from the Beit Shinol to the Yontev, we talked about the difference between chometz and se'or. Both chometz and se'or. Chometz is just something that has risen. Se'or is sourdough that is very powerful and can cause other things to rise. And we found the machlokas over there was between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on the shiur. So Beit Shammai says the se'or, which is more powerful, kezayas is enough to be mechayev you karet for eating it, whereas chometz, you have to eat the shiur of a date, kotevet. Whereas Beit Hillel said both are bekezayas. Where does Beit Shammai get the din that there's some other shiur of achila? Normally the shiur of achila, as we know well, are bekezayas. Where would we get a din of a kotevet when it comes to the isra of achila of chometz? Answer the Gemara, because Beit Shammai holds in Cain, if the din would be of that both Sa'or and Chametz would have the same shear, why did the Torah write Lo Yera Elecha Chametz Velo Yera Elecha Sa'or Bekol Gvulecha? Would it not been enough to write Lichta Rachmana Chametz Velo Bei Sa'or? All you would have to do is write the din of Chametz and not Sa'or. And then I would already know, I would say to myself, that if the din is that chometz, which is not so powerful to be machmetz acher, shears because I, isn't it obvious that a stronger thing, which is sahar, would for sure be asher, because I, so sahar the kazachon alamali, why then does the Torah write the sahar? Lomar to teach me, that they must be different shiur, and that sahar is more chomer, and therefore the sahar indeed would be the minimum shiur, which is a kazayas. But the Torah is telling you that chometz should go up to the next available shiur, and the next available shiur, if it doesn't tell you what it is, the shear of a kotevet. Because as we know, the shear of a kotevet, because it's masber, we saw back in Yuma, the shear of a kotevet is more chashev than the stam to pick out other larger shear, because it's miyas v'daite. And so we learn out from Yuma, this din, that it would apply to the shear of chometz. Whereas Beis Hillel will argue, according to them, they say the din of Sa'or in the Torah is not extra at all. If it hadn't said it, tzrichi. Let's say the Torah would have only said Sa'or. So then I would have said, why is the term chayv on Sa'or? Because it's so powerful. Maybe the Torah was not mechayev you, perhaps at all. The Shita says that by the Gezayas. And if the Torah would have written because of Rachman HaChomet, let's say it would only write Chomet and not so, I would have said, okay, the reason that Chomet is Hasser because Iyaz is Mishum the Roy Lachila. Havasarshe Roy Lachila, you can't eat plain sourdough, so maybe the Torah didn't Hasser it because Iyaz. Therefore, it's Rich, we need both Sa'ar and Chomet, but there's no reason not to distinguish the Shira of one from the other. It says, Es the Gemara of Pichama, Letha, the Rabbi Zera. Does Pichama not hold the Rabbi Zera? The Amar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera pointed out, it says, Shivas Shemim Sa'ar lo Yimatzeh Vatechem. And why does it say in change for the word Shivasim Sa'or and then say Kikolochel Machmetzet? Should have said Kikolochel Sa'or, which is the way that the Pasuk began. And you could just put the two together. So therefore, Sa'or started by saying Sa'or, lo yimatzev avatechem. V'siyen b'machmetzet, just using words for chometz, lo malach hazeh Sa'or zeh chometz, to tell me that the same Isser is like both in Sa'or and in chometz, which implies that they have exactly the same shear. So why would Beit Shammai, I mean, what's wrong? It's a beautiful diyuk that Rabbi Zera is making. Why would Beit Shammai disagree with this diyuk? Says the Gemara, le'inyan achila, actually, we've been a little confused. We've been talking about all along, as if the machlokas Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, has to do with the yisur of achila of the song, the yisur of achila of the chometz. Actually, le'inyan achila, kuli amalot pliyi, everybody agrees. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that both Sa'ar and Chomets definitely are right. They have the same shear, which is the Kezayas, as Rebbe Zera pointed out. They're only arguing as far as the Chiyav of Bior. In other words, Lagabe, where am I going to be over on Bal Yera'eh? Here is actually a Machlokas, but the Achrayim are approved. Rashi holds that when referring to Bior, we don't mean the Chiyav of Tashbitus or Mibatechem. We mean the Isra Bal Yeraya Bal Yimatzeh. There are others who hold otherwise, but again, since we're learning Beitzah here, not Psachim, let's just take it simply in terms of Bal Yeraya Bal Yimatzeh. Beit Shammai Savre Lo Yafin Bior Miachila. According to Beit Shammai, we don't have Rabbi Zera's drasha to apply for Bior. We only have it to apply for Achila. So now we're left with the Isra Bal Yeraya Bal Yimatzeh, where the Torah specifies both Sa'or and Chometz, and there you've got Beit Shammai's diyuk of why mention two if I could have learned it out from the Kav HaChomer myself. Whereas Beit Shammai Savre in the same way that there's no difference between the shear of the Isser of Achila for Sa'or and Chomet, so there's no difference in the Isser of the shear for Biur, meaning for Bayura, Bayum, Matsayit, Anami, Omar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Matlo, Kes, Islin, and Biur, Avlin, and Achila, the Tibiakol, Sevezevik, Isaias. All along that we've been explaining the Mishnah in terms of Achila, it's been a mistake. Tanya, Amiachi, the Bryson makes it very clear that the Matlok is only in Biur. The Bryce says like this, V'lo yera elachach ametz, V'lo yera elachach or Zehu machlokes shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel shebein Beit Shammai amrim sar b'kizayis v'chametz b'kikoseves u'beis Hillel amrim zeves zeh b'kizayis. So what is this? The pasuk? What is the pasuk about your rabbi you might say? The next thing that we found was the machlokes of a shochet chayv of b'yantav. So according to Beit Shammai, he says, Yachbor, you should go ahead and take a deck or take a little shovel and dig in order to cover up the dam. And Beis Hillel says, no. Now, Hashochet, so points out the Gemara like this. The Lashon Hashochet is Mashmah B'diavad. Someone who did Shech, this is what he should do. It's Hashochetin. Only if he already did it, the Mashmah is that he should go ahead and now cover it up. But L'chadchila lo, Mashmah is that if he has a choice now whether to Shech, that he doesn't have anything to cover the dam, that Beit Shammai also holds he shouldn't Shech. But then, look at the Mishnah's continuation. Hemaseifu Beit Hillel Amri, lo yishchot. That if he didn't have the offer before, he shouldn't shecht. I thought you said that Beit Shammai also agreed lo yishchot. So then he would agree that if you'd already shechted, that you should be. So Michlad Tanakama Sefer Shishchot. But that would mean that the first Tanakh Beit Shammai would hold that you should shecht even Lechatchila, because otherwise they're not arguing Michlad. That's impossible. And yet, Hashochet is Mashmoni B'Deavad. So now that means we have a contradiction between the first part of the Mishnah and the last part of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah makes it very clear, according to Beit Shammai, you shouldn't shecht Lechatchila. The second part makes it very clear that according to Beit Shammai, you should shecht. Answers the Gemara Halakash. There's no problem here at all. There is no reason to assume that when Beisel was saying Yishka means only Lechatchila. The truth is, even after you shecht, that they would have said it's usher to go ahead and to dig in order to be Mechasa. The reason they said Lo Yishkot, it means don't now do the completion of the Shkita, meaning the Kisa, even though you already did the act of Shkita. It means Lo Yishkot V'Chase. That's what it's saying. In other words, despite the fact that you're already up to it, don't complete your shkita by doing the kisui. What is Beit Shammai saying? That if you did the shkita, you can go ahead and do the kisui. Says the Gemara, no way. The Mishnah doesn't add up like this either. Hey, my sefer, umudim, that beisorim made a she'im shakat, she'achbar b'dekev yichase. Here it says that if he did go ahead and shakat, according to beisorim, he should go ahead and dig. So then that means Michlal the Resha Lav the Avadu. So when it says that Beit Shammai is Martin the Resha, he means not if you shecht, because that was what Beit Shammai said. He means if you're going to shecht, go right ahead and shecht. So what in the world is going on? Now the Mishnah, he contradicts itself again. Only if you did shecht, and yet in the end we see that it means that no, even the Chatchila Yishot. Well, my Rabba, therefore, Rabba comes to be Matar to this last Kasha, to say like this. Actually, of course, Beit Shammai were matar even lechatchila to shecht in order to go and to dig and to be mechaseh. Nonetheless, the lashon of hashochet makes very good sense. Even though normally the word hashochet would have meant if you already went ahead and did it, here that's not what it means. Here it means somebody who is about to shecht. Hashochet sheh bali malech. In other words, a person is about to shecht and now he asks and says, "Hey, now wait a minute. Can I do this? If I'm going to go ahead now and dig afterwards to cover the don? Ketzad? What do I do now?" So the Omerlo, the person who was asked, should say the following. Beit Shammai Omrim. So he should say, go right ahead. Shkot, chafor, chasei. Go ahead, do your shkita. Do your digging, do your covering. Whereas Beit Shammai says, no. What he should answer is, lo yishkot. So we're talking indeed to it's a strange lashon because we're talking about the response to one who is about to shecht. So Beit Shammai says, go ahead and shecht, and Beit Shammai says, don't go ahead and shecht. Rabbi Yosef says, no. The Tana, the Mishnah is trying to say like this. Hashochet shebali malech. A Shechet is coming out to ask us. He's about to shecht. He comes to ask us. Ketzad, how are you, the Rav, supposed to answer? Ketzad omerlo. Beit Shammai omrim omerlo lech chafor shchot chase. And actually, Beit Shammai says dig first, not like Rava said. But Beit Shammai says go shecht and then you'll be able to dig and cover. But rather dig and then do your shechit and then cover. You shouldn't shecht unless you already have it prepared. Beit Shammai lo yishchot in ken ayalu afam ukami vaodion. In other words, basically, Rabbi Yosef and Rava agree. The difference is, both agree that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing about the Tumut Lechatchila. Machlokas Rav and Rav Yosef is what should you do first? Should you do first the Shkita and then being found in a position in which you're missing your necessary ingredients to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kisui, go ahead and dig? Or should you first have the ingredients and then do the Shkita? What's this Machlokas all about? Well, Abaya told Rav Yosef, I am assuming that you, sir, Lema Marva Rabba, you're arguing in Rabbi Zera Omar Rav Kamiflege. You're arguing about whether Rabbi Zera Omar Rav is correct. The Om Rabbi Zera Omar Rav Hashochet Tzarek Shiten Afar Lamata Afar Lamala. That he held that you have to have first a fire that had been dug specifically for this purpose underneath the blood, and then you do the shlita on the blood, and then you cover it. Because it says, V'shafach et damov et zo be'afar. Note it doesn't say v'kisau afar. It says be'afar. Be'afar means that it's enveloped in afar. And be'afar, so it's like kisau afar. Afar should cover it. But if it says be'afar, means afar should be underneath also. Malamech ha'shochet tzurk shi'itin afar l'mata v'afar l'mala. So this would mean, if you hold you have to do that, then first you have to dig, then you do the shechita, and then you cover the second covering. But if you hold, you can simply shecht directly on the ground, then there ought to be no problem, right? I guess that's what you're saying. In other words, the Mar, you, sir, Rabbi Yosef, You hold of Rabbi Zeira, so therefore you say first to the Chafira. Rabu said first to the Shechita, lest I the Rabbi Zeira. So I guess that's what you're arguing. Or Malay said Rabbi Yosef, no, my dear student, that's not what I mean at all. Actually, Bein Ladidi, Bein Larabba, is from the Rabbi Zeira. We both hold of Rabbi Zeira. What we're arguing in is the following. The Rabba Savar Ika Afanamata in Ilo Lo. Rabba holds, not as I do, that if you already had a fa that was underneath from before, so then you can go ahead and share, and then afterwards you'll be able to dig and to put more afar lamala. But if you don't have now afar lamata, then they did not, even Beit Shammai did not allow you to dig to prepare the way to do a shechita for the dab to fall on. Why? Because how do you know that you're going to actually do the shechita? Because you didn't do it. You're like, well, I shook it. Let's say you decide at the last minute, until somebody comes into the room and you decide you have to run out for something else, you end up not doing the shechita. So if that's the case, that means that the digging that you did before was for no purpose whatsoever. Therefore, Rabbi says, look, tell the guy first to the shechita, then do the digging. And but if you got to tell him to dig first, then even Beit Shammai wasn't mad to the shechita. Whereas Ladidi, and according to me, I'm saying Hadifa. And no, it makes more sense not to make such a gezeira, and rather to be matir the chafira to prepare the offer, the losha recently. If you don't allow him to do that, so that there'll be many cases in which he's not going to be able to shech, then asim l'imizim chasyantav. You won't be matir him to prepare it, so somebody didn't have the offer, won't be able to shech, then you won't have basa for his suda, and all that, not having a sim chasyantav.